And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
I don't eat breakfast in the morning so I can come to work hungry. So when I get to lunch, I'm hungry. And that's just the kind of person I am. I know my 2003 Chevy Tahoe's got a lot of play this week so far, but like, it doesn't have AC and it doesn't have heat. And the reason I do that is so I can practice my mental toughness during the winter when it's cold, and I can practice my mental toughness during the summer when it's hot. That's the type of person I am.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Tuesday, April 27th. I'm J.E. Skeets, along with my top shot hot boy, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o!
Hey-o! The international man of mystery, taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friend.
Lee. And last but not least, making the magic happen, it's J.D.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. Shout out to the stream team for joining us live right now on YouTube. Smash that like button, leave your comments below, and subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. We eclipsed 37,000 subs yesterday, inching our way closer to 40K, inch by inch, sub by sub. It's like the Pacino speech from Any Given Sunday. I don't know what to say, really. 4 days until the biggest battle of our professional lives.
Wow.
All comes down to this week. Either we heal as a team or we're going to crumble. Inch
I'm
by
fired
inch,
up.
Sub by sub till we're finished. We're in YouTube hell right now, gentlemen. Yeah, believe me. And we can stay here, get the shit kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back to the light. We can climb out of hell one subscription at a time. Now, I can't do it for you. I'm too old. So just subscribe already, please. God. Okay, email us your questions
Let's
and comments.
Oh, man, Skeets, between that cold open and your speech right now, I just want to go hit a heavy bag or maybe push a blocking sled around. Some great quotes both from you and from that gentleman to begin. I, too, didn't eat breakfast this morning, so I come to the podcast hungry.
I have a Chevy Trax, but I definitely have air conditioning and heat in it, too. Yeah, email us your questions and comments. For tomorrow's Beach Steppin' Podcast, email them in, nodunks@theathletic.com, tweet them in. At No Dunks Inc. That's No Dunks, INC. And finally, grab your sweet No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. Yeah, we're fired up here today on a Tuesday. We got a lot of games to talk about, Lele. We got some Is This News. JD's got Tweet of the Night. You never know where that's going to go.
Nope.
Usually doesn't have anything to do with basketball. So get ready, everybody. But first, a little hoops. Let's go through some of the big games from last night. First one, Lele, you're going to get us started. The Suns snapped your New York Knicks 9-game win streak with the 118-110 victory. Booker and Chris Paul doing special things down the stretch, but a really good game, I thought.
Yeah, it was a great game, and the Knicks early on looked like they were going to make it 10 in a row in that first half. The ball was dropping, they were hitting all their shots. And the Suns, you know, on the second night of a back-to-back, end of a long road trip, you thought maybe the Suns just haven't quite got enough in this one. But in the fourth quarter, I thought they had more juice than the Knicks. I thought the Knicks actually looked, if anything, a little lethargic themselves. And I thought what was really important, the Suns got some good minutes out of Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges, hit some big threes. Cam Johnson had been struggling, but he hit a couple. I think he hit three in the fourth quarter there, which really shows the improved depth of the Suns. Booker was great in this one, of course, 33 points. But those guys contributing during that key stretch of the fourth quarter to get the Suns the lead, and then Chris Paul, when the game's on the line, if the ball's in his hands, he's going to do it. We saw it from the Thunder last season. He's done it so many times throughout his career. Closed out with three big shots. One of them was just ridiculous. You know, he's just been incredible all season long. Very impressive win for the Suns. Again, as I mentioned, that fifth game, end of a long road trip here, the second 2 days in a row, but they pulled it out. And, you know, I thought about at the end of this game, who do you think, we talked a little bit about MVP votes at the end of the season. Who's going to get more of those end of the ballot votes, Randall or Chris Paul, do you guys think? And then I've got a follow-up question after that.
Who will get more end of the ballot MVP votes, Chris Paul or Julius Randle? It's tough, honestly, because the Suns are going to have a drastically better record. They could have the number one record in the damn league. So that's going to warrant some votes. But then I worry, will they be split between Booker and Chris Paul a little bit? I think Chris Paul's going to get a lot. Randle, man. I guess I go Chris Paul. Trey, that's my answer to that one. Do you have a guess?
I would lean Chris Paul based a little bit on the reputation, no doubt. But yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be pretty fair between the two of them. Like, I think one of those two has a solid chance of at least coming in fifth, you know, and that's kind of an accomplishment, like making the Final Four in the NCAA tournament, ending up in the top five of an MVP ballot. That's a little bit of an achievement to have under your cap. I guess I would lean towards Chris Paul, since it's been a while since we've seen him in the top five of an MVP and what he's doing with the Suns and the clutch scoring and just making shots when the Suns need him every single night. I think he would probably be the guy, but you can't deny a New York bump. You can't deny Julius Randle's improvement, bringing the Knicks back, but maybe that's part of the problem with his case, is that he's a lock to win MIP, so maybe that hurts the votes in the MVP thing. Nonetheless, they're in the restaurant. Welcome to the restaurant. Guys, let us know what you want. We might have a few things left over. We can split a dish here.
Yeah. Well, and then following up from that, there we are. Yeah, beautiful. I mean, where does Devin Booker finish in the MVP race? Does he finish top 10? You know, because...
come on.
What, you don't think so?
What, you're gonna vote two guys in the top 10 from the same team? Why don't you just pick one?
But that's what I'm saying, is I think Booker and Chris Paul are those fifth place ballots, votes. I think Devin Booker's going to get a fair few of them as well.
Sounds like they don't have an MVP then.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. I think that, like, they've both been so good, but do you give it to Chris Paul because he's like, well, he's the veteran, he's the leader of that team? Or do you say, well, Devin Booker's been awesome as well this season, so he's going to get a few? Because he was great last night, Devin Booker, with 33 points, but it was Chris Paul at the end of the game to close it out that sort of almost stole some of Devin Booker's limelight, I thought, from that game. So I just think that they're both going to get some votes.
And, well, okay, hold on, Lee. If you can only give one of them a vote, it sounds like you're giving Chris Paul the MVP of the Suns.
Yes.
Is that what you're ultimately deciding on?
Yes, I am. But but again, I think people are going to recognize what Devin Booker has done as well this season, and he's going to pick up a few of those votes. I think it's going to happen because, again, he's been so good for them, you know, scoring the ball and shooting. He stepped his game up. But again, when the game was on the line there last night, it was Chris Paul just said, no, I'm closing this one out, because that's what he does.
Yeah. No, great timing here for Chris Paul. Like a big game, snapping a huge win streak against the hot New York Knicks. Some insane shots there. That one that he just flips up, threw up. I mean, it just drops. Good timing in the sense like, MVP votes are going to be placed somewhat soon here, Trey, like in the next couple of weeks, I'd imagine, right? That'll help his case. I think he ultimately finishes higher than Booker. And I'll have him just ahead of Randle there, wherever that is, because I'm still not even convinced either of those guys is a top five finish. Because, like, I don't know, you do have guys like Lillard and Luka and, like, of course, Curry, most people have in the top three. It's going to be very difficult. So maybe one of them gets in the top five. We will see. Great, great game, though. Suns, man, I know we're going to get to the Jazz losing again in a second. Suns are, what, one game back from the Utah Jazz for the number one seed in the Western Conference. That's pretty incredible, and I think definitely helping the case for Monty Williams to win Coach of the Year, too, if we're talking awards here on a Tuesday, Trey. I mean, if they are the number one seed, I don't know how he doesn't win it at that point.
How many votes is Chris Paul going to get for Coach of the Year?
Ooh, I like it.
Oh, they might split that one as well. How far down the ballot does he finish? The main thing for this game, though, I'm a little disappointed that the Knicks couldn't keep their end of the bargain, because I was looking forward to the Bulls snapping a 10-game losing streak, or winning streak. Unfortunate stuff from the Knicks coming short in the clutch when it really mattered.
All right, let's talk about that Eastern Conference 10th seed, your Bulls in the mix. I'm going to throw three games at you, Trey. We had the Spurs outlasting the Wizards in overtime. They ended Washington's, you know, streak of 8 straight. The Bulls held off the Heat late. They win 110-102 there in Miami. And then the Raptors, they beat the Cavaliers 112-96. All three of these teams, Wizards, Bulls, Raps, trying to get into the play-in tournament. Wizards trying to hold on for dear life there with the 10th seed. who's taking this thing, or what did you think of all three of these games, two of these games, one of these games? Like, what a crazy game that Spurs-Wizards one was. I don't know if you saw that. They were trading shot for shot. DeRozan, Beal, awesome. Westbrook, Murray. It was awesome, that one. What do you think?
Call the Southern lawyer, because we got ourselves a race. Everybody is talking about and obsessed with three teams that are a combined 25 games under 500. We're living and dying with these losers. And guys, it feels amazing. What a night last night for the race for the 10th seed. I guess start with the Wizards. I think their game was over first. Like you mentioned, Skeets, zero defense in this one. Both teams shot 53%, and I think it was killing Drew Gooden on the broadcast. Down the stretch, he just kept saying, whichever team gets a stop first is going to get the win here.
Yeah,
team gets a stop first is going to get the win here. Not a lot of stops. I felt like that meme of the guy who's like, nope, not this time. not this time. Try again. 45 for Bradley Beal on the night. Another triple-double for Russell Westbrook. But Beal missed a three to tie things at the buzzer. The streak is over thanks to 37 and 10. I think that was assists, right, Skeets?
It was assists from DeRozan, yes.
DeRozan was great. 9 in the fourth quarter. There was that fun moment right at the end of regulation with Westbrook was guarding him. He got a stop. Wait, there was a stop there for Drew Gooden. Wait a second. The Wizards were the first team to get a stop and they didn't win? Something doesn't add up. But you do love to see a former Raptor helping the Raptors. Speaking of the Raptors, they took care of business. You got to beat the Cavs to stay in the mix. The Bulls lost to them recently. That was a bad loss, but no problem for Toronto. 25 for Siakam, 18 for Malachi Flynn. Biggest story from this one was obviously Kevin Love. We'll get to that in a little bit.
Yep.
As for the Bulls, I would say that was their biggest win of the season last night.
Wow.
Down 4 with 8 minutes left, playing against a full-strength Heat team. I mean, they had no Tyler Hero, but a basically full-strength Heat team. I said to Laura, these are the biggest 8 minutes of the season. How many times have I talked to you guys about the Bulls blowing a game in the fourth quarter? Not this time. They responded, kind of blew out the Heat, outscoring them by 12 in the game's last 8 minutes. Won the fourth quarter 34-20, largely thanks to Daniel Tice. Tice, baby! 10 points, 7 rebounds in the fourth for Tice. Played all 12 minutes, finished with 23-12. He's been the Bulls' best player since the trade deadline, I would say. Vooch added 24 points, 11 rebounds. He hit 4 threes. Bad loss for the Heat, honestly, yeah. Considering that they're actually still playing for something. So, the Wizards are in 10th place right now. The Bulls are a game back, but they've got the tiebreaker over the Wizards and the Raptors. Yeah. The Raptors currently are tied with the Bulls. Raptors have a tiebreak over the Wizards. Obviously not the Bulls. So, who's got the advantage here? Absolutely no one. Looking at the schedule, the easiest by far is the Wizards, but the Bulls have all East teams, and the Raptors get to play both the Bulls and the Wizards, which give them a chance to make some moves in the standing here. That game on May 13th between the Bulls and Raptors, ooh, man, this is turning into a surprisingly big game right now. I love the play-in tournament. I just love it.
I mean, I was on a podcast off the bench. Shout out to our Filipino listeners last night. And I was asked, like, hey, Luka doesn't like the play-in tournament. What do you think? And Lee, I said, selfishly, as someone that sits here every day and talks about basketball for a living, I f***ing love the play-in tournament, like Trey said. Like all these teams, they somewhat suck. They're 10 games below 500. And at this point of any other year, Lee, we're never talking about them. You know, the Bulls beat the Heat last night. We maybe mention it from the Heat side of things, going, oh, man, wow, they're near the bottom of the playoff race. Oh, that's a tough loss. We wouldn't say anything about Chicago. The Raptors, long gone. The Wizards, you know, such a bad start. Oh, okay, whatever. They're just the Wizards. But here we are. We are talking about them. And it, for us, again, selfishly, it's a lot more exciting here in the doldrums, I guess, of the late NBA season to have, like, races to get excited about. Even if it just means these teams get in and lose, they don't even get into the actual playoffs, or even if they got waxed in the first round, at least it's something, right?
Oh, yeah, and this is how it was designed, because you want to be able to talk about these teams at the bottom. This is exactly what Adam Silver talked about, because it does mimic what happens in soccer in Europe. You know, the relegation battle, you've got those bottom five or six teams all trying desperately to just stay alive because no one wants to go down a division. And it does make it exciting because all those teams normally that have got no chance of, you know, of obviously winning the championship, but they've got a chance to win something else. And this play-in tournament, I mean, if you finish 10th, You're not afraid of anybody you're facing in that round in a one or potentially two game elimination. Yes. So, you know, I mean, Westbrook, he's been playing great, had another triple-double again last night, and he talked his trash afterwards, which was great for him. But this is exactly what we want. There's only really, I guess, three teams in the Eastern Conference who you can completely rule out. Yeah, right now, that's the Pistons, the Cavs, and
Magic.
Who am I forgetting? Magic, yeah. So they're out of it, which is fine. This is what you want to do. You want to create some excitement at the bottom. So it's working. And, you know, regardless of, you know, we're not going to see always great games in that play-in, but it's just bringing excitement and keeping people's attention late into the season. Because, as you mentioned, ordinarily the Wizards, I think, are 3.5 games back of eighth. That's almost too much of a hill to climb at this point of the season. But right now, it's like it does not matter how you get in. Once you get into that situation, and again, it's a potentially one-game scenario, that's what we all want to see because it's exciting.
Yeah, some people like push back on the play-in tournament, and they're like, well, now there's just too many teams, right? Making the playoffs. Okay. My counter to that is, especially for you wrestling fans out there, the Royal Rumble, Trey. You know, 30 people, men, sometimes women, hell, they're even in the Royal Rumble. How many of them legit ever have a chance to actually win that thing from year to year? Let's be honest. You can give me a list of 5 or 6 where you're like, all right, they could win the Rumble. That's big. I'm talking about
4 current superstars and then maybe whoever the random returning wrestler is, right?
Exactly. Just like an NBA season, the NBA playoffs, there's always like 5 teams tops really that could win the whole thing. Does that mean we should just get rid of the other 25 people in the Rumble? No! That's what makes the Rumble fun.
Like that's exactly right. We want to see the big show. We want to see it take 15 guys to throw the big show out of the ring, right? That's what it's going to be like for these play-in teams trying to get the number one seed out. I cannot wait to talk myself into the 10th seed beating the one seed in the first game of the actual first round of the playoffs. It's given these teams something to play for. You know, the Raptors got fined for resting their players. That would be how easy it would be to completely tank away the season, right?
Yeah.
You could easily just say, we're going to shut things down. We're going to keep Lowry healthy. We're going to give some developmental minutes to Malachi Flynn. All that stuff is still happening. But at least the Raptors, the Bulls, the Wizards have something to play for, even if it's just one more game.
Yeah, exactly. Marlin's got it here, Lee. Sorry to keep running with the wrestling analogy. The Raptors have a great shot at being Scotty Too Hotty this year. A fun elimination. This is my point, Marlin. This is entertainment, okay? We could have a fatal four-way match. Sure, that's great. We just have the best of the best. But why not get the jobbers in there, too? You know, you never know. You can start talking yourself into Scotty Too Hotty, maybe somehow pulling out a victory.
This is Dolph Ziggler's year.
Yeah, right. So, Lee, what were you going
to
say?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, if you go back to the We Believe Warriors, right? Now, they won their last 5 games of the regular season to get into the playoffs. And then they upset the Mavericks, you know, the red hot 67-win Mavericks that season. Mm. So, you know, if the right team is playing at the right time and the right way, things can happen, you know, things can happen. So, you know, that's obviously one example that's happened over, you know, 50 years. It doesn't happen very often, but we've seen the Grizzlies upset the San Antonio Spurs when they dropped down to the 8th spot to upset them. So, you know, it's not, I don't think, just an automatic assumption that the teams that do make it in are just going to be fodder anyway in the first round. I mean, obviously, you don't want to face the Brooklyn Nets. They're a very intimidating, dominating team. But it just if that team is playing at the right way at the right time and they've got that, they're on a roll, that first round can still be somewhat exciting. You know, there's still some hope there.
But I almost don't even care about the 1-8 matchup. I really just am looking at it from last night's point of view of like, I was tuning into the Spurs-Wizards game in late April, and I was like following it basket for basket. Like I'm living and dying with a DeRozan, you know, turnaround at the buzzer there that doesn't drop. It goes halfway in and pops out. We're going overtime. Oh, and then Murray with a huge steal and Beal coming back. And like I was into that because, of course, you know, the Spurs are playing for their own spot in the play-in tournament. They keep jockeying position with the Warriors. Then I want the Spurs to win so the Wizards lose, so the Raptors' chances and the Bulls' chances are improved. Like, yeah, I mean, that to me, it's a win. Like, I'm into these games. A lot more people are into these games. And you're right, Lee. Maybe the payoff is, maybe that team that was banged up really early in the season, missing a star player for a good chunk of it, they go on that huge second half run and suddenly they get into this play-in tournament, they win their way in, and then they're like, ooh, nobody wants to play them. That could happen too, right? You know, like a crazy example would be suddenly Klay Thompson or something like coming back for the Warriors. You're like, oh, god damn. Like, that would suck if you were like, you know, the first seed or the second seed and you're playing the Warriors or if they're the seventh or eighth seed. So anyway, exciting stuff there last night. We're all in.
All the boys are buzzing about the play-in tournament.
Oh, man, we love it. Okay, let's talk about the Kevin Love incident. We'll call it that. Very weird. He is frustrated with appears to be the official there who gives him the ball and he just slaps it in. That's in play and Flynn knocks down the three. This is obviously getting a lot of buzz here this morning. People have a lot of opinions on this. Trey, we'll start with you. Like, what did you think here of Kevin Love's turnover there?
Hilarious. I think this is going to go down in history with J.R. Smith like high-fiving Jason Terry during a play and somebody getting a wide-open three from the corner as just, what is going on here? There are obviously extenuating circumstances with Kevin Love. He was mad about some calls prior to this play, but when it gets clipped out onto the Raptors Twitter feed, basically just showing Stanley Johnson's basketball IQ and hustle to get that play, I thought that was hilarious. I thought that was very funny. But I will also say Kevin Love, best powder in the game. And maybe there's something happening here, because let's think back to the past with Kevin Love. Remember the Isaiah Thomas handoff pass where he just handed him the ball? Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh boy, he doesn't like Isaiah Thomas. Guess what happened very soon after? Isaiah Thomas was traded. Yep. How about last season when Kevin Love was whipping passes at teammates early last season? What happened very soon after? John Beilein resigned. So now we got this hilarious turnover. Obviously, nothing can really happen with the Cavs right now since we're past the trade deadline. But I think people might be surprised to know Kevin Love has actually played 18 games this season. He is totally a forgotten man for Cleveland. He's got 2 years after this season on his deal. Get him out of there. Like, the Cavs got to find a trade for this guy over the summer. You know, it's always kind of been CJ McCollum for Kevin Love has always been talked about for years and years, ever since Kevin Love signed his second or his next deal there with the Cavs. I don't think that's as appealing for Cleveland at this point, considering they're building around two guards already. It doesn't make sense to me that they would bring McCollum in, but Kevin Love is just straight up languishing there in Cleveland. Like, I don't know. I saw he had like a double-double recently. I was like, oh, neat. right? Like, that's just what it is. It's like the only time we hear from Kevin Love is if it's bad at this point. So I don't know. It was not a very professional thing to do, but he had some bad calls go against him. So I don't know. I kind of just feel bad for the guy at this point.
Well, that's the thing. Are we giving him a little bit of a pass just going, feel bad for the guy, Lee? I mean, he is the vet of this team. He just threw a damn temper tantrum with the officials. He's frustrated, but that's a bad look to your younger teammates, I think. I mean, of course it's not professional. It's a bit of a, you know, a history with him, as TK took us through too, where he does have these like pouting or like little. He's like, maybe he's the real temper boy. Now that I think about it, I'm gonna give him the title. But what do you think? Like, is he getting a pass here a little bit? Because I am seeing a lot of people like, man, it's gotta suck to play for the Cavs. I feel for Kevin Love. Well, do you?
Yeah, he's owed 2 years and $60 million after this season, so he's getting paid. If he really wants out, because I think they would have tried, they tried to trade him this season, but no one really wanted that big contract. We saw Blake Griffin take a buyout. We saw LaMarcus Aldridge give back a little bit of money as well. Kevin Love, this year, this contract, I think, was 5 years and $120 million or something around that. Mm-hmm. So he can probably get his way out of Cleveland. It's going to cost him maybe $10 million bucks, but if he really wants to at the end of this season, he could, because I don't think there'll be a huge market for him still, you know, just because of that contract. I mean, he's only 32 years of age. You know, his numbers are clearly on the decline right now. And I mean, you know, maybe if he goes to a better situation, he could be like Blake and be somewhat rejuvenated. But who's really going to give up a ton to get him at this point? I don't think a lot of people. And yeah, what he did last night, I mean, if you look at that, only that play, you think, man, he's pouting, he's unprofessional, it looks bad. But he thought he got fouled. Sort of was more upset at the ref rather than his teammates or anything like that.
Yeah, he was.
But still.
He gave the Raptors 3 points. Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, you can't behave like that. When you if that was a rookie or if that was Garland or Sexton, they'd be benched. And it's like, this kid's got a bad attitude. And JB Bickerstaff after the game last night said, someone asked him, you know, what happened. He goes, oh, you have to talk to Kevin about it. And then he said, you're going to talk to Kevin? He goes, yeah, we've already talked about it, but, you know, we'll talk about it again. So I was like, okay, so you did talk to him about it. But
yeah,
That's ultimately, that's what it comes down to, is like, yes, you can maybe give him a little bit of a an excuse because of the, he sort of got clattered into there on the play. But ultimately, you just don't expect that sort of behavior from a guy who's earning that sort of money and on that team. So, yes, I understand if he's not happy in Cleveland, the team's not very good. But you can get your way out of there, certainly if the team can't trade you. So if it costs you a couple of million bucks, then that's what you have to do to be able to go to a situation where you might find yourself enjoying basketball again.
Yeah, which is more unprofessional. He is playing and pouting out there, giving away points like that. Al Horford's just at home.
Yeah, but yeah, I don't think that's Al Horford's decision,
Okay, so yeah. Then maybe is this on the Cavs, is what you're saying? Wow. They should send Kevin Love home and say, hey, man, come back next season. We'll try and make another run at the playoffs, or we'll find you a new home.
Probably.
Is that better? I don't know. Meanwhile, we've got the Thunder, who have their best or their most highly paid player sitting on the bench, and they are not even close in games here. They're getting blown out every single night. But that's okay. Not for Kevin Love to pout because he's upset about some foul calls. Guys pout every single night. Let him chill. I don't know. Give him something else to do because it ain't working in Cleveland. Get him out.
Yeah, guys pout, but this is like next level pouting where you are just... I mean, he would have been better off scoring on his own net. It would have been 2 points.
That's a good point, 2 points.
So I'm with you, though. That's interesting. Yeah, the Cavs should have probably done that. If he's going to do this shit, absolutely. Like, yep. All right, this is not good for the identity of a team moving forward. A young, again, impressionable team. Yeah, you're doing more harm than good at this point if you're pulling stuff like this. So yeah, get him. I guess send him home and, like you said, look to move him. It's a hilarious clip. I can't wait for it to be
That's
worst
awesome.
Of the week.
Yeah.
It is very funny, just slapping it into play there and then the Raptors scoring off it. I guess Love did not play the rest of the game, Lele. He exited for the locker room before the final buzzer too. Yeah. I saw, and he didn't speak to reporters, but yeah, Bickerstaff said he apologized to his teammates for it. So. Maybe he'd
he should.
Something
yeah, I think he sort of points out. So I don't know if maybe he had an injury like that, or he just says I'm done for this game. But he should have at least spoken to the media, I think, after the game, because then he could have addressed it. He knows he's going to get asked about it, and he could have owned it a little bit better then and said, yeah, look, that was me in the moment. I did the wrong thing. But avoiding the media again, I just don't think that's the right situation. But the Cavs. I mean, they did the same thing with Drummond this season where they said, okay, you stay home, you know. So I mean, it's a bad look on the franchise if you're sending one guy home and then the other guy who, your other veteran, is out there behaving like that. So they need to move on from him, I think, either way.
Lee, what do you think about this question? Danielle Boyd. Should the Cavs fine Kevin Love for something like that?
Symbolically, why not, you know? Just to say, listen, we don't expect that from anybody. I mean, who cares? Fine him 50 grand. It doesn't make any difference to his paycheck at the end of the day. Like, he's got enough money. But it sort of could send a little message to the rest of the locker room that we expect better from our leaders, and nobody is above sort of behaving like that, you know?
I think, yeah, well, didn't he get fined last year for punching, like, the bench in Toronto? And he was pissed about being fined by the organization, I remember. There was, like, a dispute with man. He definitely got fined by... by the Cavs. So we'll see here. What a moment. All right.
I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's a butterfly effect for real.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Let's keep it going here. Wolves beat the Jazz for the third time this season. What the heck's going on? 105-104. Lee, The Wolves just swept the Utah Jazz, the number one team in the league record-wise, and the Wolves are near the bottom. They are in the tankathon race. What the hell happened here?
Well, it got crazy wild at the end there, and Mike Conley looked like he'd given the Jazz the lead when he hit a three, put him up with one with 6 seconds remaining, and really, you just need to play some good defense. We know the Jazz are known for defense, and somehow, Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell sort of screened Gobert, for some reason, scrambled out to pick up Karl Anthony Towns, but Mike Conley had already sort of switched out onto Towns, so Gobert should have just stayed with Russell. Instead, he left Russell wide open in the paint without anybody there, and Rubio just fed it to him, and Russell scored the layup. So Gobert kind of blew that situation, but then the Jazz still had a chance. It was like 4.5 seconds to go, and they played great defense on the inbounds play on Mike Conley. Ricky Rubio kind of knocked it away, got the ball loose, and the Wolves went on to win. So this was a very impressive closeout, I guess, by the Minnesota Timberwolves. And D'Angelo Russell coming off the bench again last night, he was looking like Brooklyn Net All-Star D'Angelo Russell. 27 points, 7 of 12 from downtown, 12 assists. Really gave them that good pop off the bench because they were down big early on. No Donovan Mitchell still here for the Utah Jazz, but impressive way for the Wolves to actually be on the right end of a close game here. And Gobert kind of owned it after the game. But really, a complete and utter mess there from Gobert. He didn't need to go out. He should have just stayed there with Russell because Conley sort of saw the situation as like, well, I guess I'll just pick up Towns here. But Gobert running around like a crazy man. And D'Angelo Russell, I mentioned the Brooklyn Net thing. He was up there celebrating with the crowd as well last night, bringing it all on. So good to see him back having fun again. And, you know, the Wolves obviously aren't going to make the playoffs this season. But their future's looking a little brighter. You can sort of see.
You wanted to blow it up a couple weeks ago.
You can see at least, you know, things. Next season, they shouldn't lose as many games as they've lost this season.
Do you have a pencil in your hand? Are you crunching numbers over there?
Yeah, I know. I'm just fiddling.
All right. I was like, what the hell was that that just flew by the screen there? Yeah, what, anything to add to this, TK? Again, the Wolves sweeping the Jazz.
I love a game winner that's a wide open layup
on
an inbounds play. Incredible stuff. File it away for the playoffs. Doesn't seem like it's going to matter, but, you know, if we're noticing, wow, that was crazy how bad the Jazz miscommunicated on that switch there. Obviously, NBA teams are going to notice, and maybe somebody pulls a play deep out of their pocket, just like Lee with his pencil. Sometime in the playoffs, a little switch move there, reminiscent of like a LeBron James layup that he had against the Pacers once upon a time. Somebody's going to remember that, and a team's going to pull it off against the Jazz, and either they will have completely figured out how to do their switching scheme, or it's going to be another wide open layup. Exciting.
I actually got nervous for D'Angelo Russell on that play when it was unfolding. I'm like, uh-oh, he's too open.
Yeah.
He's going to miss
wide
it. Like, he's
open.
Like, yeah, and like, when I think in a clutch situation like that, when you're that open right by the rim, you're probably like, okay, there must be Gobert right behind me or something. Like, he's like, you panic maybe and like botch the layup, but no, he was super smooth with it. He had a great game. The Wolves are 11-15, I believe, since the All-Star break. So this is better. Now just do it at the start of the season next year with, obviously, you know, a healthy or at least in the right mind frame, Karl Anthony Towns, D'Angelo Russell, hopefully playing like Brooklyn D'Angelo there. I'd like to see it. At least a chance there with Finchie in a preseason and stuff like that and practice and what he wants to implement in a normal year. You know, look, the Wolves should be decent. I don't think they're championship contenders next year, but they should be decent. They should be the play-in race because everybody is.
The thing with D'Angelo Russell, too, is like he's probably going to be the starter. He's been coming off the bench, but that is a pretty good role for him. He can be that guy coming off the bench, scoring and shooting. He maybe isn't a starting point guard in the league. Like, maybe this is just a better role. Whether or not they decide to keep Rubio next season, I'm not sure. But I really like him coming off the bench. But, you know, players just tend to not like to say that's your role. You know, he's doing it this season, I think, because he missed so much time and it's working for him right now. But that could be a little something there for the Wolves to work on. Like, if you can have a guy who you know is a bucket off the bench, it helps.
Lee, did Rudy Gobert lose Defensive Player of the Year last night with that miscue? I saw some people saying that.
No, he owned it. You know, he screwed up. No question, he screwed up. And that is just one of those brain farts. It's just like you would just think most teams would be like, be prepared to switch on that. And Conley was ready for it. And it's like, live with Towns. You know, maybe he's going to drive, but he's probably going to shoot a three-pointer or a deep shot at that point because he doesn't want to come in if Gobert drops back. But he got it wrong. So, mm-hmm. but again, the Jazz still had a chance, and their execution on the next inbounds play just wasn't good enough. So well done to the Wolves.
Final game we'll touch on here on today's Daily Show. Michael Porter Jr. scored 31 points. Hey, is every Porter in the league a junior, Trey? Mm-hmm. It's Otto Porter Jr., Kevin Porter Jr., and Michael Porter Jr. Am that's I missing right. anybody? Yeah, it's crazy. What's going on with those Porters and their juniors? MPJ scored 31 points, and the Nuggets knocked off the Grizzlies 120-96. Nuggets have won 6 of the last 7. They've improved to 40-21. Just a little love for MPJ, who is like balling over the last 2 months. This isn't a 2 week stretch anymore. This is like over the last 2 months, he's averaging 22 points per game, 8.5 boards, shooting 58% from the floor, you know, 47% from three on a ton of like makes, like three per game. And he was awesome. 12-19 in this one last night. Mike Malone, Michael Malone, whatever you want to call him, Coach Malone, after the game said like he loves when Michael, he did call Porter Michael, which I found very weird.
Mike Porter.
That he's aggressive. You know, like, he's got a beautiful jump shot, Lee. It's sort of unstoppable because we talked about, like, he's, like, Durant-like in terms of his shot, where mm-hmm. he shoots it and how tall he is. But, like, when he's aggressive is when he is really sort of a next-level player, not settling for that jump shot. And 100% true. Denver pulled away in the fourth quarter. Grizzlies, long, long road trip. 4-3, extremely respectable. Couple of those even tough losses could have been an even better record, but good win by Denver here. I don't know, man, like, what do we do with this Nuggets team? Are they still like, you know, a secret borderline finals contender? I mean, or after the Jamal Murray injury, we thought, okay, well, great year, awesome pickup with Gordon, maybe next year. I don't know. Now they're like, Porter Jr. stepped right into it, and this was without Barton, so Morris too last night.
Yeah,
this is a good win. They're still a tough out when you got, I guess, the MVP on your team. You should be, right?
Yeah, I mean, Porter was considered to be potentially the number one pick in the draft before the injury, wasn't he, I believe? That's mm-hmm. That's why he dropped. He had that back injury.
Yeah.
So you're starting to see why, because he scores just so easily. You know, he can get to his spot. He's just got that scoring mentality. It's like he knows he can get his shot off at any point. It's a pretty good-looking shot. And as he grows and as he matures in his game, I can just see him going inside to the paint as well and drawing a ton of fouls, because he's just so difficult to defend. Yeah, it feels like they can't do it without Jamal Murray. It's like too big a player to be missing. But
yeah, I don't know. I mean, especially if they score. Have the Lakers in the first round.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
that,
ideal.
That would be tough. I mean, they right now they would have home court advantage, but that probably still wouldn't be enough if LeBron's back. We saw him out running yesterday, so looks like LeBron's pretty close to returning too. So.
Oh, I thought he was just jogging, Lee. I thought that was the problem. He was just jogging out there, not a full sprint.
I like,
are you going to intimidate opponents with a jog?
Yeah. I like Colin White here, though. Most improved Porter Jr. got to be Mike. Yes. I think so. He's got Kevin and Otto beat there in that one. So give him that award.
It will be interesting to see him as the unquestioned number two in a playoff series, though, because we've seen Jamal Murray in go create something. You got to get a bucket. We absolutely need this situation. And the guy showed up massively in the playoffs last year. MPJ had a great bubble. He was all bubble team. That was an award. Not as efficient and not as productive come playoff time, but man, there's a reason they call him Michael Porter Butter and Junior, because this guy is smooth. Ooh. Skeets, 57% from the field, 47% from three in 25 games since the All-Star break. He's legitimately a second star for the Nuggets right now. The question will be is, with the additional focus on in the playoffs, will he be able to do what Jamal Murray did? Because Jamal Murray wasn't doing it from the very beginning when he first got to the playoffs as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know, though, man. Jokic sets him up with some nice, tasty dishes. Aaron Gordon's obviously a solid passer, and he can shoot over basically anybody. I think he's going to be an all-star at the very least next season, and it's going to be exciting to see what he does come playoff time.
All right, so those are the games from last night. If we didn't get to one you wanted us to talk about, go check out What You Need to Know from Tass. He addressed all 11 games in the association. Let's get to Is This News. Hey, look, these aren't the juiciest headlines here on a Tuesday, but I'm going to throw them at the guys, and they're going to tell me whether it was even newsworthy, whether I was an idiot to even include it in the show. Or maybe there's something to it. First one, it's from The Athletic. Oh, a great website. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Get yourself a subscription. Rockets' John Wall out for the season with hamstring injury. TK, is this news?
Yeah, this is news. I think this is a minor news. We saw some nice flashes this season from John Wall. All things considered, great to just see him back on the court, but this will be the fourth straight incomplete season for John Wall. Still's got a couple of years left on his deal after this season. I don't think he did much to increase his trade value this year, which is surely what the Rockets were going for when they acquired him from Russell Westbrook. Kind of weird how that trade went down. Seemed like the Wizards won it at first. Then right when the season started, seemed like the Rockets won it. Turns out the Wizards won it, but really, it's tanks for the memories, John. Pretty sure the Rockets are going to keep their pick if they're bottom four this year. Their season was obviously derailed by James Harden at the beginning, followed by Christian Wood getting hurt basically right away. They went on a massive losing streak. They got the worst record in the league right now, and they're trying to keep it that way. They got five fewer wins than the Thunder do at fifth, which means that Houston is likely still going to finish with the worst record in the league, which means they're guaranteed a top four pick, which means they're going to keep that pick, which is huge because you can't lose a top five pick in this draft. Plus, they're keeping it from the Thunder, who are on the same rebuilding path timeline that they are. So honestly, resting John Wall here and trying to make sure he's as healthy as possible to up that trade value next season, it's a win-win for the Rockets by trying to lose.
Yeah, what do you think, Lee? Is Trey right? Like, are the Rockets like looking at the Orlando Magic having lost six straight, at OKC having lost 14 straight and really leaning into the tank? Did the Rockets go, okay, well, we're leading the old tankathon here, but let's really make sure we don't win many games here. Like, could we see this with Eric Gordon, Kelly Olynyk? Like, just play all the young guys, keep losing games, and there's no worry about John Wall playing for the rest of the year or any of these guys, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I guess these days, though, it just doesn't give you significantly a higher chance of getting that number one pick. You're still in the mix for it, but in years gone by, you were obviously given a much higher chance. So the NBA's tried to discourage things like this, because overall, I think just to see John Wall back out on the court was a success for him. I think overall, I thought he played well enough. He moved pretty well for a guy who's coming off basically 2 years of injuries. But now it's kind of like, what do the Rockets do going forward? Because I think they clearly want to start again. So is there any significant value out there to be had in John Wall? He's only 30, but he's an old 30, and he has got a big old contract on him. So I don't really think there's got a, you know, they're going to be able to get significant assets in return. But I think that was part of it. They wanted to play him. Hey, look, he can still play. And now it's almost like, let's just maybe put him in cotton balls just in case he injures himself again and it does improve our lottery odds somewhat. But yeah, I mean, the Rockets have been, it's been just a disaster for them this season overall. I mean, from the start.
We should give Steven really Silas coach of the year. He should get
Yeah.
For putting up with the shit he's had to put up with in Houston. Like, just give it to him. Despite having the worst record in the league. I would like that. All right, our next one here. Headline, ESPN. LA Clippers signed DeMarcus Cousins for a remainder of the season. Is this news? I'll get us started here. Minor news, I think. Cousins had a decent game last night in a loss to New Orleans. I mean, the Pelicans crushed the Clippers. There was no Kawhi, but they led by double digits for the entire second half. They were up by 25. But Cousins had 16 points, 11 boards, 2 blocks, 25 minutes. That's the most minutes he's gotten here prior to like signing for the rest of the season. He was on a couple 10 days. He was usually playing about 14, 15 minutes a game. He was fine, Trey. You know, he's like, he's an okay backup big, I guess. And you can use him. You could see him being used in the right sort of matchups in a potential playoff series where he could give you 10 to 15 minutes, I think. So yeah, you know, good for him. I'm happy that he's going to be on a team that is, of course, trying to win a championship, and maybe he can contribute in some matchups.
Yeah, absolutely. I have the same feeling with DeMarcus Cousins on the Clippers as I did with LaMarcus Aldridge signing with Brooklyn.
Right.
Neither of these teams really need anything. They both have been near the top of the league for the entire season, but just like Aldridge gave Brooklyn a low post threat that they didn't really have, that's the exact same thing with DeMarcus Cousins. He's a skilled big body, which might come in handy at some point, punishing switches. He doesn't need to be an all-NBA player. He needs to be good for like 6 minutes at a time in the playoffs a couple of different times, right?
When
when you're going to need something out of your center scoring wise that maybe Zubac can't give you. So yeah, it's a low risk sort of move here for the Clippers, but perhaps it pans out.
Lee, anything to add? Cousins signing for the rest of the year with Clippers there?
No, I mean, you can put him out on the floor. He's got 6 fouls. He can hit a 3. He can pass the ball only for 4 or 5 minutes of a game just to fill in for some gaps. I think, why not if you're the Clippers? You know, they're obviously trying to win the championship this year. So a veteran who, you know, he's a reliable guy in short stints. You're not expecting him to play huge, significant minutes. So it doesn't hurt to have him on the bench.
Yeah, he's talked up a lot, Cousins has, about the Clippers organization too. And I think in specifically like sort of Coach Lou, he said about Coach Lou, he's done a great job of like incorporating him and his talents, making him feel a part of this. So good on Lou there and the Clippers there. No one's angry with this. I mean, we're Boogie fans. He's on the roster. And I think maybe he gets like a one little moment to shine in a playoff game here in a first, second, third round, who knows, where it's like, whoa, Cousins has like that classic like throwback game and he's puts up a 20 and 10 because somebody's in foul trouble or there's an injury or something like that. I see that happening here for him, so I'm excited about that. Our final one, Lee, NBA.com. Great website. Luka Doncic, Bradley Beal, named NBA Players of the Week. Is this news?
Well, it's the Player of the Week team curse, you can call it, because the Wizards lost for the first time in 9 games to the San Antonio Spurs, and then the Mavs lose to the De'Aaron Fox-less Sacramento Kings last night. So, right. Nobody wants to win Player of the Week award. It's just not, you're just going to get a loss in your next game. But yeah, great to have two of my favorites win it. That was awesome.
What a week.
Yeah, what a week, man. What a huge week it was.
Hey, I got a trivia question for you, Lee, off of this. I like doing this with these.
Okay.
How many Player of the Weeks in 3 seasons has Luka Doncic won? Take a guess.
I'll say 9.
Okay. Trey, what do you think?
12.
My God, you guys are way too high. Shockingly too high. Yeah, this is only his 4th one in 3 years. Isn't that crazy? Yeah, a little surprising, right?
It is.
I'm doing a deep dive, Skeets. I'm going week by week for the past 3 seasons to see how this stacks up.
Okay. Well,
my man needs some more awards in his closet. He needs some more Players of the Week. I don't know. I'm a little confused. I thought that Westbrook would be the choice for the Wizards, but then I started looking at stats and realized I was looking up Player of the Week stats, and, you know, it's fine. Beal's fine. Beal is completely fine.
And I wanted to check Luka with only having 4 of these through 3 seasons, right? How many had LeBron had at this point? You want to take a guess, Lee? End of his 3rd season, LeBron James. How many Players of the Week?
Yeah. 13.
Trey?
29.
Okay, you guys are getting a little too high. LeBron had 8 at the end of his 3rd season. And he went on a little run at the end of that 3rd year. He won 3 in a row near the end of that 3rd season there. So I guess maybe Luka could sort of like get close to catching him here. Anyway, I just thought it was interesting. Yeah, Luka. I was shocked he only had 4, I will admit. I was like, that's it?
Yeah.
It's low.
It's low, but then again, you always got to remember the Player of the Week is you got to have a good team record that week to be. You got to basically have only lost 1 game max.
Yeah.
Or it really helps your case if you're undefeated, like the Wizards were and the Mavs were in the last week. So. Yeah, there you go. Little Player of the Week stats for you. I guess it was news.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
JD, my man, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Twitter.
Well, I never thought I'd say this in all of my years, but hey, let's bring it back to wrestling.
Yeah!
Right?
All right.
Let's do it.
So, you know, I mean, Tasmellis always comes through for me in the clutch. He sent me this after what you need to know every morning, or when it's my turn to do tweet of the night, I'll go, hey man, if you see a tweet, just send it my way, because sure. I got nothing. So he sent me this thread from from Alan _ Cheapshot, and it's a thread of crazy Vince McMahon stories. Now, this is kind of a hilarious task, because he sent it to me. I'm like, oh, this is great. There's some real doozies in here, but I realized that this is from May of 2019. So this tweet is over 2 years old. This might be the most stale tweet we've ever had on Tweet of the Night. But
I'll tell you why Tass saw it. Spencer Hall retweeted it this morning. Yeah, every day should be Saturday. He said, like, we got to read this again. It's so good. But it is good. I'm loving
it. I read it.
Yeah, so did I.
It's great. And, there's so many good stories in there. He stole a guy's shoes once. He hates Yes Men, which is ironic for a guy surrounded by yes men. Yep. He once shit his pants trying to squeeze out a revenge fart.
That's the best one.
That's amazing.
Well, it is the best one, but this is a weird one, and this is the one that really caught my attention. Vince hates sneezing. When someone sneezes, he yells at them and tells them to control themselves. On the rare occasion Vince sneezes, he angrily mutters to himself and loses focus for a few minutes. I mean, of all the human frailties, sneezing is the least offensive to me. So let me ask you guys, what bodily function do you find the most annoying or the most inoffensive? I mean, anybody got anything? I mean,
well, I used to work with this guy who every time he would bite or chew his, you know, when you can crack your knuckles?
Yeah.
Yeah,
his jaw would crack every bite, every chew.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah.
Every chew.
Like so it wasn't just like that.
Soup.
So imagine, like, yeah.
All smoothie diet.
When we first started working together, you know, he'd sit down and eat his lunch and I'd hear it and I'm just like, what the hell is that noise? You know, and I didn't realize what it was. And then I looked up and I saw him like take a big, he had a big mouth too. I went,
are you talking about a horse?
Basically he was, yeah. And at the start, you're kind of like, oh, okay, that's weird, you know. And at the end, I'm like, I want to fight this guy. I seriously want to fight. I cannot stand this thing. Because it sort of sticks in your brain. It's like, now I hear every single time he would bite or chew. So, I think that's the one for me. I still remember. It's still like, I'm getting angry now at him. I'm like, if I see him.
Wow. I think I'm the same, actually. Disliking like a bad chewer. Yeah. Had a buddy in college that, like, by the end of our first semester freshman year, I was like, I cannot watch this guy eat chicken wings for the next 3.5 years. So I would make it a point to sit next to him rather than across from him, so I didn't have to, like, see it face to face because...
Well, he's just, like, a sloppy, gross, like sound. You know,
okay, so imagine the chicken wings come in a little basket.
Yeah.
Pulls it out. Yeah, gnaws on him. Just a disgusting knock. It was not my favorite thing to watch. And then would leave the chicken bones, rather than putting the chicken bones back into the container, would leave the chicken bones on the table.
Oh, God.
I'm like, come on, man. That's ridiculous. I don't like watching you eat it to begin with. And then you're just leaving your bones here? No, thank you.
Wow. Yeah, chicken wings is it sets people off. Working in a bar, I've noticed that people have really weird. It's the one food that everybody has their way.
Yeah.
I know that I am the worst. I skeletonize the thing. Like I will fillet those flats all the way.
I'm the opposite. Yeah. I'm leaving a lot left out there. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Everything has got to go. I think it's my immigrant mother.
Everything's gotta go. Yeah, like, but you know what? JD, you're not even that bad. There are people next level. Like Ken, our buddy Ken, he'll basically eat the bone.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so you're cleaning it dry, but I'm like, all right, I'll do that and then I'm gonna just start eating it. What?
Yeah. I will crunch on the cartilage, which drives Rachel insane.
That's
like
that's
annoying. But but I must have it all. I must ingest it all and then use the bones for to fashion some sort of tool or necklace out of it.
An immunity necklace. Yeah, fake immunity necklace. Would you prefer, do you prefer a stinky fart over a stinky burp? Because I think I do. I would rather be in the acquaintance of someone that drops a stinky fart even than a burp. I find a smelly burp pretty gross.
Gross.
It is gross.
Yeah.
Because you're smelling the contents of their stomach, you know?
Yeah.
And it is, and it actually will sometimes still smell like food, right? Like chicken wings, right? Like,
so I don't know why, but like
it's
a
more
burp,
offensive.
A burp smells hotter to me.
Yes.
Like way warmer, maybe more humid. I don't know if it's just the proximity to it, but I'm with you on burps worse than farts.
Yeah. I don't burp. No,
what you got?
Burp a ton. Yeah, that's a good poll. Look at that poll up. All right. Task coming through with the old Vince McMahon great. Thread. Gotta stop.
I mean, that thread is so good that there are stories that repeat in it towards the end of it. And I read them every time. Like, I read the repeated stories at the end. I was like, this is still good. I read it 5 minutes ago.
Oh, it's great.
It's not like that Kawhi Leonard thread, though, is it? That someone just completely made up how he would eat his apples with a knife and fork.
I think this is actually real Vince McMahon stories. Because, like, a lot of it's, like, from people's books or them on podcasts, like, sharing these Vince stories. Like, he's a crazy person, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, he has to be, doesn't he?
Why? Why does he have to be?
Well, to do what he's done for so long. I saw him interviewed somewhere. No, I mean, like, you know, the line between genius and insanity is very, very fine. And I think Vince slips a little more to the insanity side. But I saw him interviewed somewhere one time, and he was like out of character, and he was like businessman, normal guy, and he was like, yeah, I realize, you know, what I'm doing. I have to be the character, and I have to show everyone who I am on the camera, but behind the scenes, he's a different person. So maybe Renee can tell us more about it. She must
I've heard some Renee stories about working at WWE. They're like this thread. Some of them, there's some hilarious stories. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. Let's get to pickup results from last night. Brought to you by BetMGM. It was Suns Knicks. I needed the Suns to come through. I needed my boy Devin Booker to go get me a win in MSG, and he did exactly that. Chris Paul, of course, helped out too. But I'm still alive, baby, because I had the Suns. So did Tass. He's fine. Tass is in the clear for this month. He's 11-7. Lee had the Knicks. Falls to 10-8. Trey had the Knicks. That's the big one. Falls to 9-9. And I had the Suns, like I said. So I'm 7-11. Give me the Slurpee. Give the Slurpee to your buddy with that weird jaw.
Popping and locking.
So I'm still in it because we obviously have the rest of this week. So I'm 2 games back at Trey. I'm 3 games back at Lee. So I could even catch Lee here. Tonight's game, guys. Taz picked it. Blazers, Pacers, Portland. Favored by 5.5 on the road in Indiana, despite losing. What are they at? 5 in a row, right? I know there are a lot of close losses, but Blazers are reeling here. Could really use a victory, but can they win by 6 or more? Let's start with you, Lili. Let's go to you.
Yeah, you just feel like at some point the Blazers are going to shake it off and get a win. The Pacers without Turner and Sabonis, but I think 5.5 is just enough. I think the Pacers can cover it, so I'll take Indy at home.
Okay. Let's go to Tass here, Jay. Let's find out who he has.
This line seems huge. How does Portland win by 6 or more? There's probably a reason the line is this big. I don't care. I'm taking the Pacers. They cover 5.5.
Oh, that's said like a man who's in the clear, like I said. It doesn't really matter. Okay, two of you guys taking the Pacers. Trey, have at it.
This is real sicko stuff here, Skeets. I'm like deep in the injury report trying to see if Goga Batase is going to be able to go tonight. Going to be able to Goga? I guess we will see. Oh, my goodness. The Pacers have actually got 3 straight wins going here. Meanwhile, the Blazers need a victory. Oh, that's too big of a line. 5.5 points. Okay. Give me Portland. Give me Portland. And I will also say, for the record, a big beef will be beefed by the Blazers tonight.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay, for extra points there. Now this is difficult.
Okay, hold up, Skeets. I'm hearing that Goga Batase is out. He is out.
Wow.
Has the line moved?
Yeah. Okay, I was going to take the Blazers. And I'm still going to take the Blazers.
Ooh.
Yes, 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 yes. Because especially got Lee on the Pacers. This is good. This is a fine little hedge here. Because I wouldn't be, like, you know, out of it if the Blazers get this win. Okay, so I'm going Portland. We got Trey and I going Portland. We got Lee and Tass taking the Pacers. Blazers got to win by 6. Woo! It is not not a tiny line, but come on, Portland. All right, that's it for us today. Oh, my God. Lots of fun. Thank you so much to the stream team for joining us. Like, comment, and subscribe. You know, inch by inch, sub by sub, guys. Come on, let's get to 40K. Subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube. Email us your NBA questions and comments for the next Beach Steppin' podcast, which is tomorrow. NoDunks@TheAthletic.com or tweet them in at No Dunks Inc. Grab your No Dunks merch over at NoDunks.com and subscribe to The Athletic. Go to TheAthletic.com/NoDunks. Lee, still got that pencil?
Still, I sure do. It's right here. Yeah.
Cool.
Is that a Dixon? You got a Ticonderoga over there?
It's a, it is. Yeah. Wow. Big pencil guy
yeah,
right there.
Yeah, buddy. The Cadillac of pencils.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, that is a nice looking pencil.
I got a few.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Yeah.
Wow. I mean,
they don't usually come in one packs.
Right, right.
No.
Okay.
You got a Lucy pencil?
Okay. Yeah. How many you got, man?
Keep going. This guy's going deep.
Whoa! Keep going.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, hang on.
Oh, marker.
Oh
marker.
My goodness.
He's dropping the mic.
Still going. Hang on. I got a couple more here.
Come on, man.
Wow.
Oh, every time you pull out,
I just like a clown car. Yeah.
And I think I've got a few more here, too. Here's one more.
One more? Oh, little guy.
Wow. All right.
Another one.
Okay, fart one out of your butthole. Do it.
Another one.
Another one.
Oh, there's a couple more here. I'm still going, look.
Oh my goodness!
Are these all sharpened?
Yeah, so Sebastian, they ordered them for school this year. And he's got like another, he's got a whole box of them at school as well. Like, it's crazy. I don't know how that happened, but anyway. Can't tell me I haven't got enough lead in my pencil.
Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us. And remember, chicken wings and pencils are like Pokemon. Gotta have them all.
Embrace the day, people.
You could stay.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.